With Montana News, I'm Eric Whitney. A Missoula man who was convicted of shooting a German exchange student to death in 2014 is asking for a new trial. The Missoulian reports that Marcus Karma's new attorneys argued today in district court that the lawyers in his 2015 trial for the killing of 17-year-old Deiran Dede provided him with ineffective assistance. Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks is proposing to remove non-native trout species in Cooney Creek, a tributary of the Upper Swan River in northwest Montana, in an effort to boost native West Slope cutthroat trout and bull trout populations. FWP manages these species as species of conservation concern. Bull trout are listed as threatened under the Federal Endangered Species Act. The agency is taking public comments on an environmental assessment of the proposal through August 16th. FWP's plan is to use backpack electrofishing equipment to capture and remove all brook and rainbow trout in Cooney Creek's core West Slope cutthroat trout habitat. The proposed project is in collaboration with the University of Montana and MPG Ranch, a privately owned conservation ranch. Funding for the project would be primarily provided by MPG Ranch with labor assistance from FWP. An Arizona man has been sentenced to 10 years in prison after he admitted to driving to Montana with 34 pounds of methamphetamine to be sold in Billings. U.S. District Judge Susan Waters sentenced 30-year-old Aldo Fabrizio Pardini of Mesa, Arizona, during a hearing in federal court in Billings yesterday. Yellowstone National Park is reporting its first wildfire of the year, detected yesterday by hikers on the 7-mile Hole Trail. It's small, at only 1/10 of an acre, and was ignited by lightning. The fire is located 3 miles east of Canyon Village near the Yellowstone River. It's smoldering on a steep, rocky slope and is not accessible by foot. The park says that means it'll be monitored from the canyon rim by firefighters and that currently the fire does not pose a threat to park visitors. Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks says a grizzly bear was detected in the Bitterroot National Forest about 15 miles west of Stevensville last week. There's no resident population of grizzlies in the Bitterroot, but bear managers consider the area an important potential link between grizzly populations in the Yellowstone and Northern Continental Divide ecosystems. FWP says the 3-year-old male, which is wearing a tracking collar, wandered south from the Cabinet Mountains where it spent the winter. It was seen at a black bear bait site in north central Idaho in June. After spending a short time in Montana last week, the bear headed back into Idaho. A Bitterroot National Forest spokesman says the bear's presence serves as a good reminder for people to keep clean camps and to carry bear spray. Although uncommon, grizzlies have been found in the Bitterroot and surrounding areas recently. In October, a 2-year-old grizzly was trapped on a golf course near Stevensville. That bear was relocated to the Swan Range. Today, FWP announced that they killed that bear after repeated incidents of it breaking into buildings and seeking food near homes and recreation areas in the Seeley Lake area. Wyoming wildlife officials plan to discuss possibly requiring hunters to carry bear spray in grizzly bear habitat. 7 environmental groups have petitioned the Wyoming Game and Fish Commission to adopt such a requirement, saying it could result in hunters killing fewer grizzlies in self-defense. The Jackson Hole News and Guide reports the commission plans to discuss the proposal tomorrow in Rock Springs. Hunters defensively killed a record 15 grizzlies in the greater Yellowstone ecosystem in 2017. I'm Eric Whitney.
I'm Kevin Trevelin. Glacier National Park officials have scaled back a large search effort for the man who went missing early last week. 66-year-old Mark Sinclair of Whitefish was last seen on the Highline Trail on July 8th after leaving a vehicle with a dog inside at the Logan Pass parking lot. Glacier officials say searches took place between July 9th and today around numerous drainages, trails, and off-trail areas. Active searching will no longer occur every day, but will instead continue in a reduced capacity with patrols. A Montana Supreme Court ruling orders the demolition of a bridge connecting to private land on Flathead Lake's North Shore. The Daily Interlake reported yesterday that the state Supreme Court earlier this month found Flathead County officials issued an invalid construction permit for the 519-foot bridge near Big Fork. Records say it was built by Jolene Dugan and her father because high water levels often turn their property into an island. A district court judge ruled in 2016 the county violated a law prohibiting roads in the Lakeshore Protection Zone unless they serve boat ramps. Dugan's attorney did not respond to calls for comment. July is the second month in a row that two federal agencies have failed to provide input on five bills that address missing and murdered Indigenous people, effectively stalling the bills. As Olivia Reingold reports, advocates say people's lives hang in the balance.
We'll now call our hearing to order.
The Department of Justice and Department of Interior were supposed to submit guidance in June on a series of bills that include Savannah's Act, which would increase coordination between tribal, state, and federal law enforcement agencies. The Senate Committee on Indian Affairs moved forward with planned meetings at that time. Here's Committee Chair Republican John Hoven of North Dakota.
I'm still prepared to go forward today's hearing, as we have witnesses that have traveled far to be here. That being said, I'm prepared to give the administration a hard deadline of July 8th to provide in writing to the committee a definitive conclusion about each bill today.
Neither department made that second deadline. Lucina Tanakuto Onko lobbies in Washington, D.C. on behalf of Native American interests.
And I do think they've had enough time to make the comments on these bills and that we cannot continue to delay on this.
She says it's a disappointment that could have consequences for real people's lives.
Without their comments and without their input on how we can continue to address this crisis in the best way possible, we're just significantly delaying ending and addressing this issue.
She says the bills can't move forward until the Senate committee hears from the agencies, neither of which responded to requests for comment by deadline. The Associated Press reports the Justice Department provided updates to the committee, and the Interior Department submitted its guidance sometime after the extended July 8th deadline. Regardless, Onko says that there are other ways the bills can proceed, including being enveloped in VAWA, the Violence Against Women Act, which passed the House in April. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Olivia Reingold.
Olivia Reingold is Yellowstone Public Radio News' Report for America Corps member.